Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com.
From author Mahogany Silverrain comes the book, Tell Me You Love Me. Tell Me You Love Me is a paranormal and diverse romance novella. This is the first book in the Kenya Clark series. Breaking the laws of magic, a supernatural serial killer is unleashed on the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Special Agent Kenya Clark of the GBI Paranormal Crimes Investigation Unit has been given the case. Her partner hates anything to do with the supernatural. Kenya has a gift that allows her to see the crime through the eyes of the victim. However, in this case, she sees through the eyes of the killer. To solve the case, she must find out what her connection to the killer is. But will she and her partner be able to work together? Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverrain is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback editions, as well as the author's website, mahoganysilverrain.net. Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverrain.
Hot coffee. An Interracial Romance by Donna R. Mercer. A new release on December 3rd is now available for pre-orders on Amazon. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl, one that the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of, and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs with her wholesome clean image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An Interracial Romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your coffee. 2 Ink Minimums. Book 1 of the Permanent Hangover series by Michelle Prince. All Finn Gardner wanted was some fresh air when he stepped down to the alley behind the Permanent Hangover bar and tattoo parlor. Instead, he found someone who needed help. His help. Bailey Parson escapes her life in Chicago to find a better one in St. Paul. Not only does she win over the customers and staff with her smart wit and empathy, she wins over Finn as well. But when Bailey's past threatens their relationship, Finn has a decision to make. Just how much of his dark past does he need to unlock to save her? 2 Ink Minimum by USA Today bestselling author Michelle Prince. Get your copy on Amazon today. You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm Mahogany Silverrain, your host for Mahogany Says. Happy Thanksgiving week is here, and so excited for Thanksgiving. And I'm also excited to introduce my first guest, Ms. Donna Mercer. Donna, are you with us?
Hey! Yeah, I'm here. I'm so excited to be here.
Who has, how many books do you have now?
Ask something difficult. 9.
That's awesome. You got 9 books. That is incredible. Mm-hmm. So how are you doing this evening, Donna?
I am doing most excellent. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, when did you start publishing and what was your first book?
This is actually my second year of publishing. It's just passed actually a few weeks ago, and my first book that I ever published is called Jericho, a Club MD BWWM romance novel. I'm like, yay. I was so excited when I finished that one because it's like I never thought that I would write. So Jericho then led me to my second book, which is Sebastian in the same series.
Oh, okay.
And then from there, I participated in a few anthologies, and then I wrote Studying Axel, an inappropriate date agency book.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, Axel, he's a hot mess. And then from there, I wrote some more anthologies, and then it's like all along in there, I had been writing contemporary romance, and then I delved into the world of paranormal romance.
Yeah. I know. I'm a little biased when it comes to that one.
Well, and it's like that will... I discovered when writing paranormal romance that really my science background comes out. And
nice.
I lean towards sci-fi because I've always been a sci-fi nut. You know, I grew up watching, you know, Battlestar Galactica and Buck Rogers
yes,
in the 25th century. You know,
yeah.
And it's like I'm of an age that when I mention those shows, people look at me like, huh? I'm like, okay, that's when television was real, y'all.
Well, exactly. And I have actually met Gil Gerard, Buck Rogers, at a Comic-Con here in Atlanta.
Oh, lucky you.
He was really sweet.
Aw, I
and his
believe
wife
it.
Were there, and he was signing autographs, and it was nice. It was really cool. Like nobody else. Everyone else who was there, they were like, who is this? You know? And I was like,
yeah.
Am I the eldest one in here? What is this?
It's like, I know, and it's like, I grew up watching those shows with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, it's like, when I go over to his house to visit him, he's like, what show have you watched lately? And I'll mention, like, some modern show, and he'll be like, what's that? And I'm like, well, you know, I do watch Buck Rogers. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he's like, do you remember this episode when this happened? And I'm like, yes, I do. It's like, even though most of the books I've written that are out are contemporary romance, I have a few paranormal out. And my Happily Ever After series, it is paranormal romances.
Yes.
So the first one is Bow Tie. And people, they look at me and they're like, Bow Tie. I'm like, really, look at the cover closely. And they'd be looking and they'd be looking and it's like, that says Beauty. Yes. Yes. See? It's a version of Beauty and the Beast.
A version of Beauty and the Beast, exactly.
So.
Nice. Well, I've only read Wolfsbane, so.
Oh.
That's the only one of your books I've actually finished. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. It's like at least you finished it.
Yeah.
That was my take on Little Red Riding Hood.
Yes.
Part of the Once Upon a Villain series. With other authors like Siren Allen, L. Lauren, and to name a few. And I had a lot of fun writing that, but it's like the hard part was, do I stay true to the Little Red Riding Hood theme or do I twist it up? And so I decided to twist it up.
Yep,
and in doing
right.
my research, huh?
That's right. Twist it up. It was good.
I know. And I was amazed that in doing the research for that the origin of fairy tales, they all got skewed by Grimm. With the Grimm
yes.
brothers when they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, I'm like, oh, this is great. So when the next Once Upon a Villain series come out, next year, I'm doing a version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'll be joining you guys on this one. Actually,
basing
so off of Aladdin's Jafar, the villain. So.
Ooh.
It'd be an evil sorcerer. Yes.
Oh, see, so that's going to be so much fun. I'm excited. And you know, it's always a risk when you go against what people expect the book to be, because
right.
you know, when they know the storyline, they go in with expectations, and then when you
mm-hmm.
shatter those expectations and leave them thinking, they're like, "What did I just read? And did I like it?"
Yes, it's kind of like the series Once Upon a Time. They have totally changed all of
yeah.
the fairy tales that they put out. Yes, the evil queen actually became a good queen. You know, it's like, so it was a twist on a lot of the stories. And
yes,
I like
books with twists, and it's like when I write, I try to put a twist in all of my books, and. My ARC readers and the beta readers who review these books or do these books, their number one thing is, "I thought I knew who did it until the end, and you just totally blew my mind." I'm like, well, that is what I wanted.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's a good story. I mean, that'll keep people reading and just like, oh, wait, where did it go? No, I wasn't expecting that, you know. But that just makes it more fun, you know, especially for the reader. And as a reader, too, that's one of the things I like to put in, just kind of, you know, because it's something you weren't expecting. That's always good.
And it's like, that's what I like. I like the unexpected when I read. And so I try to give that to my readers. And And sometimes it's difficult because I'd be writing along, and I'm like, wait, what the heck just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so, yeah, that's the best part of being a writer.
Oh, yeah. So what is your favorite childhood book?
My favorite childhood book is, it's a really old book, and, most people probably never heard of it, and I don't even remember the author, but it's a book called Forest Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember checking it out of the library, and it was a story about this young girl who went to stay with her grandmother, and it was always snowing where they were. And, you know, spring, summer, fall never came. It was constantly winter, and it turned out that they had stones, these four stones for each season, and they had to replace the stones, but an evil person stole the winter stone and made it winter all year round, and the granddaughter, it was her, she was the one that solved the mystery of why it was constantly winter and went after and retrieved the stone. So that they could have, you know, four seasons again.
Right.
It was like, yeah. And, you know, that was that was my first book into delving into paranormal and science. It was like, so. Yeah, and it's because of my mother that I started actually reading romance novels, because, you know, she had oodles of Barbara Cartland books laying around. And she's like, you know, the perfectly rated G ones. So she's like, here, you can read these. And so I just constantly read them. And then as I got older, she allowed me to read more risque stuff until, you know, I got to the point that I could buy my own books, and we started exchanging books.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
For those of you just joining us, I am Mahogany Silverine, and we are talking with author Donna Mercer, who writes romance. She's delving into paranormal now, as well as contemporary romance, interracial. So what inspired you to write interracial romance?
Probably my life, because, you know, my husband's actually white, and it's like, so that's the relationship that I really base a lot of my writing on, because it's like I have a happy interracial marriage, and so I want everybody to have a happy interracial marriage.
That's awesome. Same thing with me.
But the thing that really tripped people up is my third novel, Studying Axel, The Inappropriate Date Agency. It's not an interracial couple. It's like,
okay.
And so it threw people
I'm sorry, Don. I'm going to have to go to break here. I'm sorry. You're listening to Mahogany Says, and we will be right back after this short break.
You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com.
From author Mahogany Silverrain comes the book, Tell Me You Love Me. Tell Me You Love Me is a paranormal and diverse romance novella. This is the first book in the Kenya Clark series. Breaking the laws of magic, a supernatural serial killer is unleashed on the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Special Agent Kenya Clark of the GBI Paranormal Crimes Investigation Unit has been given the case. Her partner hates anything to do with the supernatural. Kenya has a gift that allows her to see the crime through the eyes of the victim. However, in this case, she sees through the eyes of the killer. To solve the case, she must find out what her connection to the killer is. But will she and her partner be able to work together? Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverrain is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback editions, as well as the author's website, mahoganysilverrain.net. Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverrain. Order your copy today.
Hot Coffee, An Interracial Romance by Donna R. Mercer, a new release on December 3rd, is now available for pre-orders on Amazon. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl, one that the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of, and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs, with her wholesome clean image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust, or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An Interracial Romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today. Two Ink Minimum, Book 1 of the Permanent Hangover series by Michelle Prince. All Finn Gardner wanted was some fresh air when he stepped down to the alley behind the Permanent Hangover bar and tattoo parlor. Instead, he found someone who needed help. His help. Bailey Parson escapes her life in Chicago to find a better one in St. Paul. Not only does she win over the customers and staff with her smart wit and empathy, she wins over Finn as well. But when Bailey's past threatens their relationship, Finn has a decision to make. Just how much of his dark past does he need to unlock to save her? Two Ink Minimum by USA Today bestselling author Michelle Prince. Get your copy on Amazon today. You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com. You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Mahogany Says, and I am your host, Mahogany Silverain, author. And we are talking with Donna Mercer, who is an interracial romance author. Donna, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. I think where did we leave off? You were talking about your interracial marriage.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those. No. I was just saying that. Huh?
I said, isn't it fun?
Oh, yeah. It's fun. Well, because I've been married for almost 25 years now.
Wow.
And, you know, I know we went to a wedding and, you know, they had everybody stand up and, you know, by length of marriage. And the only people that had been married longer than my husband and I were his parents and the bride's parents.
Wow.
So I'm like, wow, we're a big old anomaly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially, you know, since, you know, in the days when we got married, there was not a lot of interracial marriages. And so people predicted, oh, that's not going to last.
Yeah.
And, you know, now all I get to say is, ha!
That's right.
Yes. Like, see, you got me in my talkative stage, so when I start talking too much, just let me know.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. That's pretty cool. I think, you know, most marriages, sometimes, you know, you do have to work at any marriage you have to work at, but when you are totally two different people, it's a little bit harder, and I think it's been my experience, at least, that you do kind of work at it a little bit more because people are so against you. Even when we got married almost 12 years ago, it was still, you know, I was like, are you sure about this? And I'm like, of course. But you never raised me to go just, you know, with anyone. I never felt limited in my dating choices. So, you know.
And that's exactly it. And it's like, it amazes me that it turns out that I married somebody exactly like my father. I'm like, how did this happen? It's like, you two are even grumpy the same way. So,
I didn't even tell when daughters marry someone like their father, right?
Yeah, I didn't believe it until I realized I did exactly that.
Exactly that. See, something you already used to. That's what it was. You've got 9 books, and do you write full time, or is this something you do part time?
I do it part time. It's like I still have a full time job. I work as a nurse.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like I just recently switched the type of job I was doing because I was doing pediatric care, and now I went back to long term care. And it gives me more opportunity to write now because eventually I want to move away from nursing to writing full time. And so this gives me the opportunity to get into the mode because I work 3 days a week and then that leaves me 4 days to continue to write.
Okay. I was going to ask when do you have the time to write being a nurse? And they sometimes have long shifts, but.
Yeah, and that's it. I work 3 12-hour shifts, and then, you know, I have time. I find that I have a lot of time, and it actually works better for my family because, you know, before, even though I worked shorter days and I had I worked 5 days a week, but now I work, basically 3 longer days, but I see my family more and I'm more involved in their activities and I get to get out and about and observe things that are going on, that gives me a whole bunch of stuff to write about.
Well, there you go. I know, it's always, you write what you know.
Yes, that's it. That's it exactly. And mm-hmm. It's like, I try to know a lot because I'm nosy.
I am too, but I'll read anything. I was like a sponge. Just if anyone said anything, I will read. Just whether it's magazine, books, doesn't matter. I used to just read everything when I was a kid, and it kind of just stayed with me. So just reading anything, and then meeting lots of people, because I was afraid to really talk to people. So I was a little bit of an introvert. So.
Aww. Well, it's like I remember entertaining my friends when I was younger with outrageous stories. And I have a friend that we've been friends since second grade. And every time I see her now, she remembers, remember when you told me that story way back in seventh grade? I'm like, okay, maybe I should have wrote that down for you.
Yeah, because I used to tell my sister stories when we were little. I would call them dreams, right? I was like, oh, okay, I had this dream, but actually it was just something I was making up on the spot. But
see, and I think that's one thing about writers, is that we've always had this imagination, and we can make a story just about out of anything. It's mm-hmm. like, and see, that's how I got the Inappropriate Date series, is that
right.
I read a Facebook post, and I'm like, oh, this would make a great story. And
yeah.
Next thing I know, I had one. So, yeah, writers, we have that imagination.
Yes,
and I think we're gifted. We're the lucky ones.
Yes.
Because we get to share it with the world.
Yes. And I had to get over a huge fear of sharing it with the world. That's why it took me a long time before I published it.
Yeah, but it's like, now that you're publishing, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, when I finish a book, I go maybe a couple of days, and I'm like, ooh, I need to write this down. And then next thing I know, I'm into another book. My biggest
mm-hmm.
thing is not starting a whole bunch of books at one time.
Yes. I still have like three that are open right now. I have to finish one first.
Me too. It's like, I have a OneNote, and it's like, it's just full of story ideas and research,
mm-hmm.
and it's like my son swears up and down that's why my computer is protesting. He's like, Mom, you're doing too much.
Yep.
I'm like, if it can't hang, it needs to go.
Right, you just need a new computer. That's all it is. Well, thank you. And for those who are just joining us, we are talking with romance author Donna R. Mercer. And I have enjoyed having you on the show, and we're going to get ready for our second guest. But is there anything that you would like to give as far as advice to new writers?
Just write. It doesn't matter. You write every day. It's like, it doesn't matter if it's crap, at least you wrote it.
Exactly. Well, thank you for being on the show with me.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome to stay on the line, and I'll refer to you again before the show ends if you want to listen to the next one. It's my next guest.
That's fine. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Darcy, are you on the line? Okay. Well, we will be back in a few minutes. We'll go ahead and take a commercial break. You are listening to Mahogany Says, and I am Mahogany Silvering.
You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com.
From author Mahogany Silver Rain comes the book, Tell Me You Love Me. Tell Me You Love Me is a paranormal and diverse romance novella. This is the first book in the Kenya Clark series. Breaking the laws of magic, a supernatural serial killer is unleashed on the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Special Agent Kenya Clark of the GBI Paranormal Crimes Investigation Unit has been given the case. Her partner hates anything to do with the supernatural. Kenya has a gift that allows her to see the crime through the eyes of the victim. However, in this case, she sees through the eyes of the killer. To solve the case, she must find out where her connection to the killer is. But will she and her partner be able to work together? Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silver Rain is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback editions, as well as the author's website, mahoganysilverrain.net. Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silver Rain. Order your copy today.
Hot Coffee, an interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. A new release on December 3rd is now available for pre-orders on Amazon. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl, one that the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of, and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs with her wholesome clean image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust, or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today. Two Ink Minimums, Book 1 of the Permanent Hangover series by Michelle Prince. All Finn Gardner wanted was some fresh air when he stepped down into the alley behind the Permanent Hangover bar and tattoo parlor. Instead, he found someone who needed help. His help. Bailey Parson escapes her life in Chicago to find a better one in St. Paul. Not only does she win over the customers and staff with her smart wit and empathy, she wins over Finn as well. But when Bailey's past threatens their relationship, Finn has a decision to make. Just how much of his dark past does he need to unlock to save her? Two Ink Minimum by USA Today bestselling author Michelle Prince. Get your copy on Amazon today. You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com. You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com.
We are back. Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Mahogany Says, and I am your host, Mahogany Silverman. And we were talking with author Donna Mercer, and I think there's another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
I guess not. Well, anyway, we will continue talking with author Donna Mercer since we have so much fun. So Donna, let me ask you, if you had something to do differently as a child or teenager to become a better writer as an adult, what would you do?
Okay, ask that once more.
Okay, if you had to do something differently as a child or a teenager to in order to become a better writer as an adult, what would you do?
I would not listen to criticism. Because I started writing in junior high, and the first novel I wrote, it was a romance story, and it was cute, and I had one of my teachers write it, and read it, I should say, and after she read it, the advice she gave is, stick to what you know. Well, okay, mm-hmm. As a seventh grader, I know nothing. And so that actually became a barrier to me writing. And I did not write again for several years. I mean, like 20 years. And then when I did start writing, I just dabbled, but I never actually finished anything I started until I finished Jericho.
Okay.
And so it's like, now that I look back, I wish that I had not wasted all that time in not writing, because that really is something that makes me happy, and it's something I should have been doing all along. But because I got so-called advice from somebody
right.
I admired, and their advice was basically to stop, I stopped.
Oh, no. Yes. I'm glad you kept going, though.
Yes. Now I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy that I came back to it. I just hate it that I wasted all those years of not writing.
Yes.
So it's like, so that's what that's the biggest advice I would give people is don't listen to other criticism. Because it's like, you know, let haters hate. You do your thing, and you just
true.
Keep on doing it.
Keep on going, just right. Doesn't matter what anyone says, because there are so many readers who have so many different authors. I mean, I have a library with so many different authors, it's not even funny. So there's always an author for a reader. There's a reader for every author. So
that's
my take on it.
That's it. And it's like,
you know. I think we have, let's see. Okay, we have another caller. Is that you, Mr. Dunphy? Hello? Are you there?
Oh.
Hello? Oh, okay. Well, all right. I don't know if you can hear me. Well, he says he can, but okay. So go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm just hanging out until you're ready. But, yeah, in reference to your question, that's what I would tell people. It's like live your dream. Write whatever you want to write. And don't write what people expect you to write. It's like everybody has an opinion on what you should write. It's like, more is like write what you want, what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the biggest piece of advice I could give to anybody out there who wants to write. It's like, And, you know, I know a lot of people think that, you know, they have to have perfect grammar and perfect spelling and
right.
perfect sentence structures. That's what editors are for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unless you happen to be self-publishing and you need to hire an editor. But most people
yeah.
have to do it on the themselves. And that's how I started. I tried to do it myself because I got tired of being told no for different things. I kept submitting and submitting. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do it myself. That was
See,
a hard lesson to learn.
You know, and I think being self-published is great. I know a lot of people who've, you know, like you said, they kept submitting and submitting and submitting, and it's being rejected for one reason or another, or they want you to change this little thing so that eventually the story that you wrote is no longer the story that you wrote.
Exactly.
They try to squeeze it into a box. And like you said, there's enough diversity out there that you will find a reader who will like what you wrote.
Exactly. Okay. We're going to try this one more time. Mr. Darcy, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
There you are. All right. Finally. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. You're talking to author Donna Mercer, and now we have started to speak to Mr. Darcy. And Mr. Darcy, can you tell us what kind of books you write?
It's normally erotica fiction, down the lines of 50 Shades, but in a different tone.
Ah, okay. Well, your book just came out today, so congratulations.
Yeah,
really happy release day.
Thank you very much.
I know you're excited.
Excited
and
nervous.
This is your first book, right?
No, I've actually written four, but this is the first one I've actually got published by a publisher. So.
Okay. And the name of it is Secrets from the Top. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
I did about 2 years' worth of research on the subject because I found out that if you look at all of the erotic books and the movies that are out there, it's always the main character is always a male. So I went down the lines of writing to focus groups on females, women CEOs, and getting their input and their fantasies. So I just went from there. So it's 99% of the book is actual fantasies that are written, well, actually that are written down, sent to me by members of the public who I've written to, or women. So.
Right. Well, it sounds exciting. And it's part of a series.
Yeah, there's going to be, at the moment, three books, but I've still got enough material probably to do five.
So tell us a little bit about Caroline.
She's a CEO of a company, huge businesswoman. She's spent her life just working on her major business deals and her personal or professional life and taking the back seat, really, to her personal life. She's had a few long-term relationships, but they've always wanted her to be the trophy on her arm because of what she does. So she just decides to take matters into her own hands one day and explore herself.
I think everyone
should
do that.
Yep, she takes her friends along for the ride as well, so her female friends.
That sounds great. So what made you decide to start writing and publishing?
For years I've written fantasies for people. All of my friends, they'd come to me because they knew they used to write. I write anyway, so they'd literally come to me and say, look, this is my fantasy, can you put it down on paper for us and get it done nicely for us? So I'd do that, and then one of my friends then sent it to a publisher, well, sent her a copy to the publisher, and then for the next month I had them on the phone to me.
Wow, that's incredible.
So, yep. I think it's always you have to be at the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
And with the way that 50 Shades took off, I think it was calling out there for a strong female lead to be there be honest with you, because as I said, 90% of the books, 90% of the films that you see, even action movies the whole way through, it's always going to be a male character there. So why not write about it? I've had criticisms for writing it due to that I'm a male and it's a female lead. But then if I throw back, well, E.L. James, she wrote the male lead. So is there, she, and it's literally, no, that's different. That's a completely different subject that she's writing about. And I'm like, but it's not. It's a female writing about a male lead. Why can't the male write about a female lead?
Exactly. So there are several male writers who write women very well.
Yep. Well, hopefully I've written it really
you
well.
You are actually the second male that I've interviewed that writes romance. And the fact that you've done so much research and you really seem to get into the character's mind is amazing. And it takes an excellent writer.
Well, I've got to thank the people who actually wrote in for that one. I can't take the credit for that one. I can only put down on paper what they've given me to write down. So I've just elaborated on it and made them characters.
Mm.
So their fantasies are the ones that's in there. It's just me putting them down on paper for it, really, and then just exploring it into a whole story.
Well, it's still you because you wrote it, and you're the one who did the editing and deciding how the story should flow. So that's give yourself some credit for that one.
Well, thank you for that one. I will take that.
So have you read anything that would make you think differently about fiction?
Not really. My genre that I write, I don't actually read. I tried to read 50 Shades, and I just couldn't read it. To me, it didn't flow properly, but that's my opinion. Everyone else has their own opinion, and that's such a big movie and such a big book. It had to have done something right anyway. But everyone has their own opinion to what everyone writes, to be honest with you. I don't read my own genre. I read, like, Karen Slaughter and Tom Clancy. I'm actually still waiting for the Marines to jump through into my book on an erotic scene at the moment. I'm going to probably come up with Tom Clancy or come into it somewhere.
Oh, wow. That would be interesting.
I hope it doesn't happen. That's why I don't read my own genre, because you'll accidentally take something from someone else's literature that they've written and put it in there, and I'd rather not mess with someone else's stuff. I'd rather have it all on my own.
Oh, yes. But, you can kind of play with a little bit of a mashup. Because we all kind of cross into different things, especially with romance. It's not just the cookie-cutter version anymore.
No,
I
agree.
Contemporary romance, it's just really not it's the hero, and he saves the girl, she's in trouble, the damsel in distress sort of thing, and, they go through trials, and then they end up together at the end. It's just not that way anymore.
No, it's definitely not that way anymore. I think males and females are both taking different roles in life now. And I think the women actually now, especially with the Me Too movement, are taking more control of their lives the whole way through it. And that's what I think should happen. It shouldn't be the segregated that the men are always on top of everything else and taking the lead. I think it should be 50-50 the whole way down.
Exactly. And that is why I have tough heroines in all of my books, actually, where the woman is doing a lot, and she's not the one in distress. She's usually helping the guy, or, sometimes she is helped, but it's not always that same way, and it's not always just one guy and one girl. So, but I do think 50 Shades kind of opened up to mainstream America about the BDSM community, and I think that's where a lot of people who were not in the community or didn't know or were afraid of it actually got a little taste of it. Even though she didn't expound on a lot of it, she said she did research, but it was very tame.
It was very. She was very timid on her research. I think
she
researched to be honest with you, I think she went down the wrong route on it. I think she wanted to aim it at the more liberal market.
Right.
So it was more realistic for people to read, so it would get out there. She didn't go down the route of really going in depth into it, and that is a shame, because I think that would have been a much better book if she actually had have gone down the whole route.
I agree. So I look forward to reading your book, and you actually kind of, some of that is mentioned in Secrets from the Top.
Some of it, yeah. I'm not going to give you too much away.
No, you don't want any spoilers. We just want just enough, just to tease.
Yeah, there's definitely some more in book two than book one, but book one does lead into it, but then it's more about the desires of Caroline and her, what she leads into and where she goes. It's not all about the eroticism of the sexual act. She goes to places where she does. There's no one else around. She goes to a Scottish island, and it's just her in an old rundown castle with a big lagoon on it and everything else, where she still has the same desires, but there's no one else around. So there's a whole storyline behind it that goes with it, and it pushes you and actually tells you what her life was like the whole way through and what she's thinking. So,
okay. So tell us a little bit about you. What hobbies do you have outside of writing books?
The gym. I spend a lot of time in the gym. I really do spend too much time in the gym, I think, sometimes. I like to cook, walk my dog, spend time with my other half. Yeah, so just the normal, natural things. I like to read, watch movies, just the normal, natural things that a person likes to do, to be honest with you. I don't have this big persona that everything a lot of people have. I'm just normal, natural, down to earth. So,
well,
I like the normal things, the easy life.
You have a very interesting author name, which I know you told me is also your real name. And
yes,
when I heard Mr. Darcy, I was thinking, oh my goodness, Pride and Prejudice. And my kids looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you've never read the book.
Oh, you've got to read that book. That's got to be read. I do look good in a very wet white shirt, though.
Yes. See, you should probably play with that a little bit in some of your books.
No, I'm definitely not going to go down that route. I was born with this name. I can't get rid of it. And my publishers actually tried to get me to come up with a different name for the book. And I was like, why would you do that?
You know, because it would be, you know, it's just so interesting, and you can't help it. It's like Mr. Darcy is like, oh, come on. It's like the most romantic figure from any book, Mr. Darcy.
Exactly. So why would I want to go with a pseudonym and not use my real name for it?
Right.
It's the perfect writer's name.
So you're like the romance author with it's your real name, but it's like you can kind of play with it, you know.
Yep.
But make it your own, because you are unique.
I'm going to stick with that one for now. If I do have a different genre, I might come up with a different name for it. But for this genre, I'm definitely going to stick with what I've got. I honestly, if I go to a different genre, I don't think I'll change my name. I think I'll keep it the same. I won't literally get a different name for it. I'm just going to stick under the same thing. But I can't see myself going to a different genre, to be honest with you. I enjoy writing this way, and it's, some of it is very explicit. As I said, EL, I think she went down the route. She wasn't as productive on finding out the best ways to write it. I think if she'd have gone down the harder route on it, it would have played out a lot better. She may not have got her film deal. But.
And maybe, like you, do more research and actually interview people who were part of the BDSM community.
I spoke to lots of people over the phone, and Caroline herself is actually based on a CEO out of London. So it's actually based off of a real life CEO. So.
Oh, and she's definitely going to read this. This is going to be.
Yes, she's definitely. I think she'll read this. She had an email from the publishers today saying that the book was released, and they were sending her a copy. So.
Oh well, that is amazing. So what authors inspired you to write? I know besides E.L. James and 50 Shades, was there any other?
Well, that actually never inspired me to write, actually. I was writing that sort of book and that sort of stuff way before she even published it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, as I said, Tom Clancy, Karen Slaughter, down that route. Stephen King on some sides of things, but I'm not into horror movies or horror books, to be honest with you, but he does write. It's the way that they connect with the audience, to be honest with you. That's what I like. If you get an author that can connect and actually have the person enthralled from the start and doesn't want to put the book down, that's what I like.
Yeah.
That's like we sent a copy out of the book to a horror writer in Germany, and she hates erotic fantasy. She hates erotic fiction. She hates anything to do with it. And she read five chapters and emailed it back and said, I need the rest of the book now because I can't put it down.
Wow.
So
that's high praise right there.
Yeah.
Totally not in her genre, but she actually liked it.
She actually writes horror. She doesn't write anything else, and she can't stand anything. She refused to see 50 Shades. She refused to watch 50 Shades, and she literally slammed all erotic fantasies and all erotic romance and everything else. But she literally was on the email as soon as she got the four chapters about an hour later and said, look, I need the rest.
Mm.
So.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Well,
it's going to be some people are going to have the taste to read it, some people aren't. Some people it's going to offend, and some people it's not. So.
Well, I'm definitely not offended.
Well, let's hope you get the book and read it and see what happens.
Oh, I think most people who will probably read it will really enjoy it, and it sounds like a really good story. So, thank you for joining us.
Let's hope so. You're more than welcome.
And do you have a website that our listeners can look you up or social media?
Yeah, it's Secrets Off the Top, because for some reason Secrets from the Top was taken. So it's secretsoffthetop.com. And it's also on Instagram as well, which is Secrets from the Top.
Okay.
So they're more than welcome to follow. And if they do write to me and text me on Secrets from the Top on Instagram, then I will literally chat to anyone who talks to that. So if they have any questions, then I'm more than willing to answer them.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy talking with you and chatting with you on Instagram as well. And also our other author, Donna Mercer. Are you still here, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, thank you.
If I come up here
buying
his book.
It's on Amazon now, but Amazon have done it a really weird way. They've put Secrets from the Top, Mr. Darcy. If you actually search for Secrets from the Top, you won't find it. You have to type in Secrets from the Top, Mr. Darcy, to actually find it.
Okay.
The hardback is available now. The paperback is available, and there's a glitch on Amazon's system, I think, at the moment, saying it's temporary out of stock. It's actually not. You can order, and it is shipped immediately to you, so...
Oh.
And ebooks on there as well. So,
okay. Well, we will look for that too. So, my listeners, if you're listening,
if you don't have that, it's on Apple Books as well, and the Nook have got it. So, and
it's
on Kindle as well.
Is it on Kobo?
Yes, it's on Kobo as well. I haven't checked to see if it's showing on Kobo at the moment, but I know it is on Apple iBooks. They had it showing. And not ready to download immediately. It was on Kindle. Amazon, I've got to say that it's going. There's 30 e-platforms that it's going on all around the world. So one of them you'll find it somewhere. As I say, it's available for hardback as well. Barnes & Noble have got it on their Nook now as well. And they refused at first, but now they've relented.
Okay, so, well, thank you so much for joining us. He is jojoining us from England. I know it's like, 1:30 or so in the morning over there.
It's probably about 2 a.m. in the morning at the moment.
That was great. Well, thank you. I appreciate you staying up late and talking with us. And thank you, Donna.
You're more than welcome.
As well. And to all of my listeners out there, happy Thanksgiving this week. And I know we are 2 days away from Thanksgiving and Black Friday. So we'll have some amazing sales for Black Friday books. I know I'm offering a discount on mine. And Donna, are you offering a discount on yours for Black Friday?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
It's like, the pre-order for hot coffee is going to be 99 cents.
Ah.
So I'll definitely get that one then.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, thank you all for listening, and thank you for coming and listening on our show. Thank you to Listen Mahogany Says. Happy Thanksgiving, and go in peace and love. Blessings, peace, and love. Good night.
You are now listening to Mahogany Says on Radio Live, worldwide digital stream. You may visit us on the web at screenworksentertainment.com.
loving you.